Hello once again. How nice it is to talk to you. And this is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley. And I'm bringing to you, I hope, a few more nuggets of truth around the theme of the gospel. Now, I have said several times now that the gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was revealed very clearly, I think, to John Baptist, who sent to Jesus his disciples and said, "Are you the one that is supposed to come, or should we be looking for somebody else?" And Jesus simply said to the disciples that came and visited with him, "Well, you know, this is what you see. You see a group over there? They used to be lepers. Now they're clean. You see a group over here who used to be blind. Now they see. And over there is a group that were dumb, and now they speak. And up here is another little group that was deaf as a post, and they hear. And look at those over there, standing and walking around, sometimes running and enjoying themselves. And they used to be cripples, and their crippled condition stopped them from doing anything. Most of these people were beggars, and they begged at the various places where begging was allowed, around the temple and around the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, these people have received good news. The good news is they see, they hear, they speak. They are filled with the sense of the presence of God. They walk, and they have all kinds of things happening. In fact, you can see a group over yonder, and they're led by a man who was a raving lunatic living in the tombs. Now look at him. He's ministering to each one of those fellows and women, and the evil spirits have gone out of them. They are free." So Jesus then said, and then add this to the collection of things I've told you, tell John Baptist that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The good news comes to the poor. The good news enters into the hearts of those who had given up and were living without hope. So the good news is the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. We need to remember that when Jesus opened his ministry, and this is recorded in the Gospel of Mark and chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus is being asked various questions, and he says, "You have to learn, because the kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, I am here. And you have to realize that because I am here, you need to repent. You need to believe the gospel, the good news. I was reading in the Amplified Version earlier and was impressed with some of the words. For instance, Jesus in that 15th verse said, "The appointed period of time is completed. It's fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent." Now listen to this flow of words that describes what repentance is and should be to us. He says, "Repent, have a change of mind, which issues in regret for past sins and in change of conduct for the better. And believe, trust in, rely on, adhere to the good news, the gospel." Now, we have reached the point in our civilization these days where that's old-fashioned speak, and it doesn't really make too much sense to us because we are pretty well educated and we don't have to listen to that sort of thing. And I believe there should be a gong going off somewhere. I should say this to you. That is hogwash. You see, though we may be very clever, and though we may have reached a stage of understanding things that we didn't understand years ago, we are still ignorant of the Word of God, and we're still in great need of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are still needing to come to Him with repentance in our soul and in our heart, with a sense of gladness, recognize that He has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. When I was a little boy, my mother helped me, and she clothed me and dressed me and washed me. I became a young fellow, and I didn't want her doing that, and I knew best, I thought, but she knew better, of course. Later, when I became a teenager, I wanted to dress my way, and I wanted to go to things that interested my mind, that captivated my imagination. And so off I went. The army came along and called me to it and said, "You don't have any thoughts at all until you've understood that all you think about is being in the army and pleasing the sergeant and the sergeant major and so on." And that was a revelation of life to me. And it should be to all of us, for Jesus was saying, understand that you must put the things of the past away, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. And the discovery of life that becomes extraordinarily exciting is discovering God's way to live and God's way to present ourselves. For instance, the beginning of a healthy mind is to seek and find wisdom. Now, where do you find wisdom? We don't get it from some intellectual treatise or book. We can't find it from a philosopher, because he's looking for the same wisdom and hasn't found it, or he wouldn't be a philosopher. He's just telling us what he thinks he knows, but he isn't telling us anything that's true. Some of it might blend with truth, but that's all it does. So where do we find wisdom? Where can a man who can't make it at school, who doesn't know how to parse a verb, or he doesn't quite understand calculus and math, or he just doesn't make it in all the subjects he's supposed to make it, and he's bored to tears, how do we give that young man, that young woman, a sense of direction? We teach them to find wisdom. Now, wisdom is with God. And Jesus needed wisdom. For instance, there was a time when the Lord Jesus was provoked in a way. The scribes and the Pharisees and so on came to him with a woman that was taken in adultery, taken in the very act. Now, someone was peeking through a keyhole, it seems to me, or the equivalent of it, and they were watching what was going on so that they could say, "Ha ha." But Jesus had already said to the people, you must understand that we commit adultery in our minds before we commit adultery with our bodies. The body simply obeys what the mind dictates. And so they came with this woman to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, "What about this woman? What do you say? We know what the law says, but what do you say?" And they were trying to trick Jesus. Jesus knew what they were up to. And he didn't answer them directly. He started to write something in the dirt and dust of the ground. And he lowered his gaze to the ground. And it's my impression that Jesus was praying and saying, "Father, give me wisdom." Now, this is something that sometimes we don't think about, but the Son of God sought to honor his Father in all things. He said later on, "I do always please the Father. I do the things that will please my Father." And so he took some time, and everybody was beginning to get a little shifty and moving around on their feet and wondering, was he going to speak to them even? And here is this poor woman, dishevelled as she was, taken from the bed of adultery and thrust in front of this man and whoever would gather in the crowd. It was a dreadful scene. But Jesus spoke this way. He said, I tell you what, if there's anyone here who is without any sin at all, let him pick up the first stone and throw at her, because the law said that she should be stoned. And there was dead silence. Jesus threw back at them the problem of dealing with this woman. To deal with her was to admit, I have also sinned this sin in my mind, in my heart, long before I've ever sinned the sin with my body. And so we find this hesitation and this glaring, in a sense, toward the Lord Jesus. And these people were pretty ferocious. Minutes ago, they wanted to throw rocks at this woman and smash her skull, bury her with the dead animals that were on the side of the hill outside of Jerusalem, just chuck her body on the rubbish heap. Now they were faced with, if we do that and obey what this man says, we all should be in the same boat as she is, because we have thought these thoughts, we have had these desires, and this is what is lost in us, and we can't repair it. Now, God saw that the predicament of man was such that he couldn't heal himself. That's why he was forever standing in the waiting room at the local clinic, waiting for someone to come out and tell him what to do about his headache or his broken limb and his deformity or his fixation or whatever it was that was going on in his mind. They were just as today, they were loaded up in their clinics waiting for people to come and pour out their hearts to the quote-unquote doctor of the day. In some ways they were very well advanced, and in other ways they were very crude and very limited in their knowledge. And so the elder men that were gathered there, why, they left first of all, and they slinked away from the crowd. Why would they do that? Because the older we are, the more we realize that our mind captivates a thought and chews on it for a little while until it actually becomes sin in our hearts. The very thing that the Bible tells us not to allow. And they left first. And the younger men left last. Why is that? Because they have no experience. They just have the words of some priest or some leader that tells them that this is the way to go. So they have a fury, or they have an impatience, and they want to express themselves. But they were watching that the older men left, and they were left holding the bag, as it were, and just standing there, and they were responsible for this gathering and this woman and the answer to the question of Jesus. They had sin, and the sin hadn't quite developed in their hearts and minds as it would by a few more years of living. And so they left quietly, somberly, later. And when everybody had gone, the woman just was there. I don't know whether she was sitting or whether she was standing, but I do know she was in front of Jesus, and Jesus confronted her with this question. He said, "Woman, where are those that were accusing you?" And she said, "They've all gone." Now listen to Jesus. This woman was embarrassed because she was caught with a sin. She was embarrassed because she had sinned. She knew she had sinned against God. The psalmist says in one of his psalms, he says, I repent of my sins, for I have sinned against thee and only against thee. Talking to God in his prayer, he is admitting sin, but he doesn't know what to do with it. It's there. And only against you, Lord, have I sinned. Every single sin that you have committed and I have committed, every single sin that we have been responsible for, I have to remind all of us, including me, that I have sinned in the presence of God and I have sinned towards God. I have offended him. Now, how do I erase this offense? How do I change this condition that's in my mind? Find wisdom. And the woman says, there's no one, Lord, they've all left. And Jesus said, and these must have been words like butter on a piece of bread. It must have been the honey from the comb for this dear soul. No matter how disheveled she was, no matter how her hair was, or the dirtiness of her body was, no matter what she felt, and no matter how she was conducting herself, she heard these precious words, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. In other words, repent and believe the gospel. Believe the words that I speak to you, that I, Jesus, may gain honor and glory in your life. What a tremendous story this is. What a colossal challenge it is to you and I. Neither do I condemn thee. Today we live in a time where everybody wants to put the guilt thing on everyone else. It wasn't me, it was him. It wasn't my fault, it was their fault. And it's because of the sins of the past that we're groveling and griping and being miserable today. That is just hogwash. It doesn't even really require sensible discussion. Jesus said, repent. Now do something about it. That thing in the middle of your back is called a spine. Use it. Stand up and stand before God and bow your head humbly. And as you bow your head humbly, confess, I have sinned and come short of your glory. Seek his forgiveness, which he has already given, and find the forgiveness welling up in your heart, and discover that the hope that is within you is the forgiveness of sins that you have committed and the wrongs that you have done. It's so easy to want to get revenge. Years ago, someone said something about me that was totally untrue. It fussed me. It worried me. It made me feel absolutely ghastly. And for several weeks or months, I suppose, I walked around like a dog with a sore head. I was so ashamed to be branded by this one person who knew he was wrong. He knew he was lying. He knew it. And I wanted to go and talk to that man. And if it came to fisticuffs, tear his head off. I was furious with him at one point, and I had to deal with my own fury. My temper needed to be tempered, and my thoughts needed to be collected. And the wisdom of the situation was that I simply said, this is a lie, you know it's a lie, and I'm going to leave it there. Now, he wanted to get into a great discussion. If there were a lot of people around, I was seeking no discussion. Whether there were a lot of people or not, I didn't care. The years have gone by, 40 of them, and the fellow died recently. And I had prayed most earnestly that the Lord would let me meet with him, that he might understand that I did not hold him responsible for the unpleasantness that he caused me and indirectly my family. And I had gotten over the anger, the violence that was in me, and I had got to the point where I could truly call him by name and say, "You are forgiven." I wanted to tell him that. I asked the Lord that he would let us meet somehow, and I would be able to tell him that. But I lost track of him and didn't bother to chase after him, and he died. I knew after the funeral that he was buried and all was taken care of. But I know in my heart I bore no grudge, and there was a cleanliness within my soul. He brought a great deal of discomfort to the rest of his family. It was such a shame. It was totally unnecessary. What shall we do with this sort of thing? I believe that we should just be very quiet and very easy on people that don't understand. You see, here is a story, and it's in John 9. It tells the story of a man that was born blind. He said to the crowd of people, "What's all the excitement? Oh, we're following Jesus. Jesus is in the road. He's walking along. He'll soon be opposite you." The man said, "Jesus, Jesus." And he called Jesus, and Jesus went to him, even though the disciples suggested that Jesus wouldn't go to him. And as he got to him, he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Sir, I want to receive my sight. I want to see what they call the moon and the sun, the stars and the flowers and the trees. I want to see what everybody else sees. I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole. You go down the road here to the pool of Siloam and you wash your face," because Jesus had created some mud and had anointed his eyes with this mud. And he went, guided, I suppose, by people who wanted to see what would happen. And a group of them took him to the pool of Siloam, and he washed his face, and as he did, the mud came off his eyes, and as the mud came off his eyes, the blindness went with the mud, and it was washed away, and he could see. Now, people all around wanted to accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath day because he wasn't keeping it holy. He was working. And Jesus took no notice of them. And they took the man aside. They said, "Tell us how you've got sight." And he said, "Well, I've already told you. A man called Jesus came by." "Well, who is he?" "I don't know. I've never seen him. He didn't come with me to the pool of Siloam. He said, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.' And I went and washed in the pool of Siloam. And as I did, I received my sight. I've never seen the man. I don't know what he looks like. But I know this. Because of his words and because of his kindness, whereas once I was blind, now I see." I wonder, can that be said of you? Can you stand up and say, "Once I was blind, but now I see"? And it was some hours later that Jesus saw the man, and he went over to him. He spoke to him. When he had found him, this is verse 35 of John 9, he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You trust Jesus. Jesus said, "Repent, believe, trust Jesus." And when you trust Jesus, you may not see some vision. You may not even meet him to shake hands and say thank you. But trust him, and he will reveal himself to you, and you will be able to say with this man, "Who is he? Who is he?" The man said, "Lord, oh Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And that's the situation we find ourselves in today. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." One of the most tragic things is that the blind today is leading the blind, and we are believing blind people who have no way of knowing the truth, the life, no way at all. And it's such a tragedy because we believe these people. We quote the politician, we quote the film star, and we say, "Isn't it wonderful? He, she understands our plight." No, he or she do not understand our plight. They do not understand because they are not believing. I'm sure there are some that do, but for the most part, those that speak up and speak out do not. And it's a great tragedy. Oh, dear, dear listener, hear me out. You can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it been revealed to the mind of the man. Until we believe in Jesus, we don't know what he will give. We don't know how he will keep. We just don't know how all of these things work out. But we know this: when we put our trust in him, he that talketh with us is he. Jesus is the Christ. Are you trusting this Jesus? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless this word. Bless all who hear with the challenge of the gospel, the great good news, and help us to trust you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. I'm so glad to meet you on the air.